Did you know that this show is 100% listener sponsored? If you would like to help sponsor the show and become a vital part in producing it, please consider joining Hero Hero or Patreon.
What's the difference between those, you might ask yourself? Let me tell you. Patreon is your more classic experience. There's levels. You can join at $1, $2, all the way up to $35. You get different stuff, right? Mm-hmm. But if you want to join Hero Hero, everyone pays the same amount. Everyone gets the exact same thing. $8 a month locked in for life. So even if we raise it, you're not going to pay more than $8. And the difference between Hero Hero and Patreon is that with Patreon, you get merch. With Hero Hero, you don't, but you get all the stuff we offer you.
Yes.
Like what, Dennis?
Well, you get our monthly vlog called The Lost Tapes, where we go around and visit different places and have different experiences together. You get ad-free episodes of The Check-In. You get Checking In With, our bonus podcast, where we interview different people. There's hours and hours and hours of content. You also get movie commentary once a month, and there's like 10 of them up there now.
Yeah. My favorite thing, and I think the thing that you are getting the most value from, is the live shows.
Yo.
We record this podcast live twice a month, and we do it with a live chat. We sit and talk to our live chat for much longer than we probably should.
Yes.
It takes us 2 to 3 hours to record an episode, and you see how long these episodes are. They're not 2 to 3 hours.
No.
We have so much fun. It's a community. We all talk to each other, and it really is such a high value piece of this whole project.
Yes. So if you're interested, go to patreon.com/Dennis Callow, my name, our Patreon, or herohero.co/Bethany Watson and Dennis Callow, and join today and help support the show. That's patreon.com/Dennis Callow or herohero.co/Bethany Watson and Dennis Callow. Consider joining today, won't you?
Links are in the show notes if that seems like a mouthful.
Bethany, your dress is really beautiful.
Thank you.
It looks like the cover of a New Order album. This is The Check-In. My name is Dennis Callow.
My name is Bethany Watson.
And you know what? We live together. We work together. We eat together. We sleep together, just like the song says. Plus, we go thrifting together to flip it on eBay together.
Oh, yeah.
And when you do that much, you got to check in. So twice a month, we check in with each other. And if you'd like to check in with us twice a month, head on over to patreon.com/Dennis Callow or herohero.co/Bethany Watson and Dennis Callow for more details.
I think the number one draw of going to either of those supportive platforms
yeah.
is that you get to join our live chat every single time we record.
Yep.
We take way too long to record because we spend so much time talking with the chat. Before this episode, when we went live, the chat was helping me apply makeup because I was panicking.
Bethany was panicking about her blush.
We were talking about how to use AI to figure out the best colors for you.
Yep.
Then we were just chatting with each other, saying hi. It is so much fun.
Oh, I love our live chat. And I love our heroes and I love our patrons. And another great thing about those platforms is The Lost Tapes. The Lost Tapes is once a month you get about like a 30 minute to a 1 hour video, and they're sort of like vlogs, but they're developing into like short films now.
Uh-huh.
And they're really fun, and we have a blast doing them, and I've been having a blast editing them, and they're really great. So head on over to those platforms and join if you'd like to.
And coming up in the next couple of months, we are going to have a Lost Tapes, the first ever second annual Lost Tape at this one particular event.
That's
that
right.
We're going to.
That's right.
And maybe
it's an anniversary of sorts.
We'll see the same pig.
The pigger. Now,
giant
before,
pig.
Yes. Before we get into listener emails, I just want to say one more thing.
What's up?
I have released a book. I have released a photography book. And you can go to DennisCallow.com/shop and pick up a copy. It helps support me. It helps support the show.
It's beautiful.
Yeah. I'm really excited about it. They are made to order, so mm-hmm. they are a little bit pricey, mm-hmm. but if you have the money and you can afford it, and you like photography, please check it out. I'm really proud of it. It's 19 years worth of photography. It starts from 2005 at the beginning of my journey with photography all the way up until I met Bethany.
Yeah.
And it goes to 2024. So it's a pretty good collection. I'm really proud of it.
It's amazing. And yeah, and it's segmented into when you first thought you were like, I might be able to do this. And then figuring it out and then becoming professional at it. And it's this really beautiful timeline of your development as a photographer. And the pictures are amazing. And it's so thick.
You get so much.
It's such a big book.
And there's different editions. There's like the standard edition, there's a premium edition, and then there's a deluxe edition that has a bunch more photos. Yeah. And it's printed on like archival paper, which lasts 200 years. It will never fade.
Awesome.
Which is a copy my parents bought, you know?
God bless. And there's also the super ultra deluxe version, which is a holographic print cover.
True.
And Dennis will come over and make love to your wife.
Okay. Let's go on to listener emails now, please.
Okay. You have one.
I do.
You have the first one.
Oh, I have the first one. Yeah. I have the first honors. Okay, well. Oh, hold on one second.
Oh, everything's falling apart. Wait a minute.
All right. This is from Lucas. I love Lucas.
Lucas is great.
If you're listening, Lucas, shout out to you, buddy. I loved this one. I read this one to you.
Yeah.
And you started crying.
I was in a fragile place, mm-hmm. and I started to cry. I was like, Lucas gets it.
Yeah, Lucas does get it. So this is from Lucas. Was walking around the Grand Canyon and snapped this sweet photo of a giant raven who landed right next to me. Thought of Bethany, naturally. I think she is looking for you to be your familiar. I hope she finds you. Fingers crossed emoji and a beautiful picture of this giant raven with this black beak. Just a beautiful, beautiful raven. And you know what, Bethany? I hope that happens for you as well.
Me too. All right, our second listener email.
Yes.
This is from Checkmate Anna. It is wholesome pet content. This is what we're looking for.
I love a wholesome pet content. And thank you so much for Anna for sending this in. This is great. Yeah.
This is great.
Yeah.
Good evening, my favorite goth aunt and uncle.
Hello to you.
Anna says, I've been wanting to share the wholesomeness of me and my fiance's two precious little baby dogs for a while, and I'm finally doing it.
Okay.
Our first dog's name is Trinket. Mm. We adopted him when he was 3 months old. He looks like a Jack Russell Chihuahua to me.
Buddy.
And then we got Iggy about 9 months afterwards. He's a black and white rat terrier Chihuahua mix.
Buddy.
He's my spooky little bat dog. They are both the absolute loves of my life, along with my fiance.
Oh.
This particular story is about Trinket. Are you ready?
I'm so ready for Trinket's story.
It's so funny with animals get... I don't know how animals decide something, get an idea in their head, and you have no idea why.
Yeah.
All right. So the dogs have a water bowl accessible to them every single day, all the time in the kitchen. Mm-hmm. They can always go there and there is always water in it.
Okay.
But for some reason, Trinket gets extremely excited when I fill a bowl with water in the bedroom. We started calling it the good water.
Yeah.
He could be fast asleep, but if he hears me filling up the good water, mm-hmm. I turn around and there he is wagging his tail. I've attached a video of this for your viewing pleasure.
Okay, here we go.
You ready?
So the water's being filled up in a red cup. Anna turns off the water, turns around. The dog is right there. Yeah, wagging his tail, licking his chops, eyes wide, like this is like it's a steak.
Totally.
Like this is a filet mignon.
It's a filet mignon with
extra
ketchup.
It's a filet mignon with extra ketchup.
That is so funny.
That's really funny. Anna, thank you so much for sending that in.
If you have a cute pet story, please send it to us. The check-in mailbox
at gmail.com. Yes, please, please.
All right. Segment one, Dennis. How do we do this week? Now, let me explain what's going on in this segment.
Sorry, I was just going to tell everyone to get comfy. That's all.
Let me do my part.
Okay.
This is a segment where we go over events, big or small, mm-hmm. since our last show, mm-hmm. and we share any lessons we may have learned so that you can learn along with us, gentle listener.
Oh, yeah.
Dennis, what do we do?
Oh, my gosh. Well, number one, we celebrated my birthday. First of all, thank you all to all the Checkmates, to everyone on social media.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for wishing me a happy birthday. I'm 47. The guy at Mavis Tires today thought I was 35.
God bless.
God bless.
You got that Italian skin.
It was wonderful. But we had people over.
Uh-huh.
And it was fun.
It was wonderful.
The day before, we recorded a Lost Tapes.
There is an abandoned fire tower.
Yes.
And you wanted to go out in nature, do a little bit photo walking around.
Right.
See this abandoned fire tower, take some photographs.
Yep.
And we did it.
Yeah, and none of the photos came out.
Not a single one.
Because
Well, you have to watch the Lost Tapes.
You have to watch the Lost Tapes to find that out. And to do that, you got to go to Patreon or Hero Hero.
All fell apart.
But everything's fine with the cameras. It was just like, I'm getting used to like shooting film again and manual cameras. And I was like, oh my God, I'm rusty, man. I'm
the worst
rusty.
Thing that could happen happened.
Yeah, but the next day, my friends Scott and Heather came over with the kids, with their two boys. Uh-huh. And we had a blast.
So, first of all, Heather listens to the show. Heather is a checkmate.
Yeah.
And it just turns out that the four of us love each other. The wild card in this hangout, and this is what I particularly want to talk about.
Yeah, okay.
Is that Heather and Scott brought their two children, their sons.
Mm-hmm.
And they have two of the funniest, like, fun to be around.
Yes.
Easy to sort of find your in with children.
Yeah.
For two people who don't have children.
Yeah.
How did you feel you did with the children?
You know, Bethany, Mother's Day is coming up.
Oh, it's around the corner.
And sometimes you just don't know what to get, dear old mom.
You have known her your whole life, and you got her everything you could think of.
Everything possible.
And now she's always like, I don't want any. You don't have to give me anything. And you know that's a lie.
Because she'll hold it over your head that you didn't get her anything.
Forever.
Forever.
We're going to save your life.
Yeah, because you know what? I bet you have a bunch of photos of you and your mom, or your mom solo, or your mom doing things. Maybe she's taking a trip. Maybe she's taking the dog for a walk. Maybe she's cooking something. I don't know. That's pretty sexist, isn't it?
What's wrong with you?
I don't know. So take those pictures of your mom and make something special out of them that you can give her and that she can have a fun time putting together. And that is a puzzle.
PuzzleU.com lets you make personalized custom puzzles. You can make them in sizes that come anywhere from 48 pieces, so maybe for like a smaller kid, all the way up to 2,000 pieces. And this is my favorite part. They have 1,000 piece puzzles, which is their most popular size.
Yes.
You can get a 32-inch puzzle. You can get their new double extra large 45-inch puzzle, or... this is my favorite.
Yes.
They have something called Smart Sorted. Mm. This is a cleverly pre-sorted puzzle. So let's say you and your whole family are getting together. You order one of these with your mom's picture on it. Then you get 40 boxes that each has 25 pieces of the puzzle in that box.
That's so fun.
You each put together your own section and then you come together and put together the larger puzzle. This is awesome for family gatherings. This is awesome for birthday parties, bridal showers. You have it at your wedding. Each table can get their own puzzle at your wedding and put it together, and it's all pictures of you.
That's actually a really good idea.
No, it's a great idea.
Yeah, and designing is quick and easy with PuzzleU's free design tool. You pick a puzzle size. You upload 1 to 65 photos. Then you choose from dozens of great templates. You customize the box too. And most puzzles arrive in about a week or less. Also, they do have express shipping. So if your mom's impatient, just, you know, do the express.
Faster that way.
Yes.
Here's what's coming up. You have to deal with Mother's Day. Then you have Father's Day. Get these both handled now, because you're going to remember Mother's Day, but you're absolutely going to forget Father's Day.
Mm-hmm.
And now you're going to look like a jerk because you forgot Dad.
Right.
People are graduating soon. Graduation gifts are so hard.
You know what? My nephew's birthday just came up. He loves puzzles. I gave him a bunch of my puzzles that were my photography.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Speaking of your photography, Dennis.
Yes.
If you don't have the perfect photo,
mm-hmm.
PuzzleU.com has photos that you can use, including exclusive photos that Dennis has taken that are only available on PuzzleU.com. Go to Artists and then Dennis Callow. So create your custom photo puzzle at PuzzleU.com today.
Want to get 25% off? Use the code THECHECKIN25 during checkout at PuzzleU.com, valid through April 2024.
Again, use the code THECHECKIN25, no spaces, 2 and 5 are the numbers, at checkout to get 25% off at PuzzleU.com. PuzzleU.com, THECHECKIN25 to get 25% off.
Go do it. Get your mom a present, you monster. It was great. I mean, I did what every great, you know, uncle does, and I put them in front of the TV.
You set up the, like, 16-bit video games for them.
Sega Genesis, yeah.
And they, we heard them giggling and laughing. Yeah, it was so funny to see these tiny young children who'd have only known
iPads and whatnot.
Super realistic graphics. And I kept pointing to like the Street Fighters and going, look how good they look.
You're like, look at those graphics.
Look at those graphics.
You, at one point you said, look at that shading.
Yeah.
I was like, what the fuck are you talking about?
And the older son was like laughing at me. I was like, this is what we got.
Yeah.
You're lucky, this is what we got.
Yeah.
How do you feel I did with the children?
Well, I think you did pretty good up until the very end, Bethany. And let's talk about what happened when we were in the stairwell or on the stairwell and they were leaving. You, for some reason, decided to tell them if you are approached by a witch and she wants to put you in the oven. Now, at this point, you're just going off on the rules of what happens to children who get put in an oven.
Let's set the scene. Let's set the scene.
Go ahead. Set the scene, Bethany. Here we go.
So we've been hanging out with each other for like, I don't know, 8 hours.
Yeah.
So there's just a level of comfort.
Right.
And
we're high on cake.
Totally.
And sodium from vegan tacos.
And we live in a split level house.
Yeah.
So I'm at the top of the stairs.
Yep.
Our front door is halfway down. And so everyone else is gathered at the bottom of the stairs and sort of trying to get out the door because the door swings way into the entryway. And
yeah.
It's just weird.
Yeah.
And the boys are putting their coats on and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And sober as a preacher's wife.
Yeah, none of us drank.
Nope.
Yeah.
I lean over the railing and I say to the boys, by the way, boys, if a witch ever tries to eat you and puts you in a cage and she tries to fatten you up and see how fat you are, you take a stick and you put the stick through the spokes of the cage.
Yes.
And that way she'll touch the stick and not your fingers.
Yep.
And you'll never be fat enough to eat.
Yep.
Remember that.
And now this whole time I'm thinking, man, Heather must be like, what the fuck?
These boys are like, what,
but
six
Heather,
and 10?
Yeah. And Heather at this point jumps in and goes, listen to her. Listen to her. Like, she's like your hype man in the background. She was like the umbrella man.
She's like, yeah, use a stick.
Yeah.
A stick.
Use a stick. You listen to Aunt Bethany.
And I'm going,
what is happening right now?
And the whole time, I'm thinking to myself, I could stop this right now.
But you don't.
But I didn't.
Yes. And I have an example of this.
This was my becoming.
This is what you do to people. So I have this experience with you.
Uh-huh.
I've had this experience with you. We were sitting in your old apartment in New York City.
Yeah.
We were sitting next to each other on the couch. And I start getting notifications and I open it and you're texting me this horrible image from PT, the video game PT.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh my God. Oh, stop. Stop. And they kept coming and you're going, I can't stop it. And you're just laughing and like crying because you can't stop.
I physically couldn't stop airdropping you the scariest woman in this video game.
I had to like block your number for 5 minutes.
I knew I should stop and I simply could not. It's on a slide on our Instagram page, the_check-in.
We're
underscore
so
podcast.
Good at promoting our social medias.
So at that point I couldn't stop. At this point I could with the children. I could stop this anytime I wanted, but this was when I was like, but I am embracing this incredibly polarizing side of myself.
Yeah. And plus Heather's like egging you on. She's like,
totally.
keep going. And I'm like, what is, Nua, the older boy is just looking at you like, what are you talking
Who is
about?
This woman?
And the younger one's just like, what?
But the younger one's a spooky one.
Yeah.
So I think he was cooler. The older one's a little scared.
Yeah.
So this probably would have been fine had it not been for what I had done earlier, immediately upon the boys coming into our house.
Right, right.
The very first thing I said to them was, want to see my hidden knives? And then I realized these are young boys, but it was too late. I had already...
No, you had already...
I'd already promised
it. The offer was out.
So I went and had to show them where I hide the knives.
Yeah, they're in the... Well, I'm
yeah,
not gonna...
don't tell it. They're hidden.
Okay.
But they thought those were cool.
And you whipped them out and went, ha ha ha.
So at the end of the night, I realized kind of that maybe I had really overstepped some boundaries, like showing young children knives
right.
and then telling young children, here's how you get out of being baked in an oven.
Yes.
If a witch has you in a cage.
Yeah.
So I sent a text to Heather afterwards.
Yeah, yeah.
And I said, Heather, Dennis was just asking me why I say such weird things and that your elder son seems legitimately frightened by me. I am so sorry. Heather said, stop. I was legit laughing on the way home from all the things you said. Our son needs to face his fears. I'm going to send him to your house for summer camp. He's just fine. And then I was like, I'm so sorry. And then she said, don't worry. He goes to school with kids with autism, so he's exposed to people saying weird things every day.
Oh my God.
Like, that both heartens me knowing that he's so embracing of people who are different from him.
Uh-huh.
And also that like maybe he's cool with this weird woman in his life telling him how to get... And look, one day he's going to find himself. himself about to be
in
baked in an oven. And he's going to remember what Aunt Bibi said. And he's going to be like, oh, thank God.
Thank God for that life advice that I got from that strange, strange woman.
That purple haired crone just saved my life. What else? Did we learn anything else?
Bethany, this is breaking news. Checkmates.
What?
Your internet aunt and uncle have been going out.
Oh my God, you guys, we left the house. We went out last night.
We've been going out.
We got invited by locals to an open mic night.
Yes.
And we went.
Yes.
And it was awesome.
Let me tell you something. We had a blast.
We had so much fun.
We got the tour of a theater.
Uh-huh.
The people were really talented.
Apparently, there's just poets everywhere and they're so good.
Yes.
I don't typically like poetry.
No.
I loved even the woman who was just writing about how sad everything was. I loved her poetry.
I figured you would like her the best.
I liked her. But then there was this woman who just writes these amazing poems about poem stuff. Being sad and butterflies and things. And it was like so good.
There was this guy who came up. And, you know, as a former addict, I was like, oh my God, this guy's amazing.
Yeah.
He just opened up and like read this whole thing that he wrote. I wouldn't call it a poem. It was more of like an essay poem.
Yeah.
It was beautiful about addiction and how he overcame it and how he's still battling with his demons. And I was like, this guy is great. He's laying his heart down on the line. He looked like Sam Shepard.
I was going to say, whatever gentle listener you think he looks like, that's exactly what he looks like. Yeah.
Yeah.
I loved this man.
He was like Marc Maron and Sam Shepard combined.
If they had a love child and that love child had an addiction problem. Yeah.
So we went out and we got home at maybe 8:45.
You guys.
And there's video, which I will post on our social medias, of us walking in and talking about it.
Uh-huh.
And it was 8:45 and we sounded like it was like 11 o'clock at night. I was yawning.
We looked exhausted. We looked like we had been to some sort of state dinner.
Yes.
Like glad handing all night with high level politicians for hours and hours.
Yes.
We had been to an open mic night where we sat at a card table for roughly an hour and 15 minutes.
Uh-huh.
And we came home, we were like, oof, job well done. Because we suck and we're old.
Yeah. Well, I think it's just that we have not flexed the muscle of like going out and socializing. We forgot our bodies are not used to it.
No, we're so tired.
I was just going to say today, like we're normally having fun in the car. We had to go run some errands today and we were at the Dunkin' drive-thru and Bethany, God bless her, she sees this whale tail on a car and just sing what you started singing.
I turned to Dennis like I'm an old vaudeville performer and I went, it's a whale of a tale. It's a tale of a whale. It's a story about a deep blue sea.
Yeah, and I just put up my hands and go, wait, please. That's really loud. Can we just have a minute? I'm a little tired.
Have you ever tried to stop a vaudeville performer in the middle of their song?
And your face sank. And then afterward, I was like, I'm sorry. I'm really tired. Like, I'm tired. I feel hungover and I didn't drink.
Yeah.
And like the rest of the ride, like you were like, I think I feel the same way. And we're like shotgunning caffeine. And I'm like, what is wrong with us? We got home at 8:45. We have to work our muscles of going out a little bit more, honey.
We got to train.
So this,
the way Michael Phelps trains to do whatever it is he does, we have to train.
Exactly. This happens every week. And I think we're going to try to make a habit of going out and like going to these shows and making more friends and getting out a little bit more.
Yes.
We both agreed on it. We both felt very fulfilled afterwards.
Totally.
And I was like, it's really nice hanging out with people.
And we found the people who are our people.
Yes.
Because we were sort of waiting in the front of the area. So we were seeing a lot of people who were coming in.
Yeah.
And anytime someone came in who looked awesome, I did the same thing to them that I did to our friend's young son, where I just yelled my thoughts at them.
You were screaming at people as they came in, Bethany. It was so funny.
This woman came in and I was like, all of you is amazing. And she was like, oh my God, you're my people. And another woman came in and I was like, your earrings. And she said, have we met before? I said, no.
No.
I'm just polarizing and off-putting.
I think you're charming and adorable. It was really fun. It was great.
It's like I want so badly to connect, but I don't ever want to connect and I don't know what to do.
You were standing in a dark corner screaming at people.
Just yelling at them.
It was amazing. Now, Bethany, my question to you is, how are you doing? This has been a lot of socializing. It's been a lot of like almost every weekend now we're doing something with people.
Uh-huh.
Are you okay?
I... I think I am.
Okay. So checkmates, are you getting out of the house more often?
Is it hard?
What's going on? How are you feeling? Email us to checkinmailbox@gmail.com. And have you been enjoying yourself, or are you like, I want to go into my shell even more now? The checkinmailbox@gmail.com. Let us know. And now on to our next segment, Bethany setting fire to everything in her life.
So yeah. This is like, I want to have like a legitimate conversation because I want to know if this is something that other people go through. And I think it is.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, okay. My entire life growing up, the only thing I've ever really studied and been good at is performance. So whether that be improv or theater or on camera or even radio is, you know, a form of improv and performance. That's all I've ever trained to do. And it's all I've ever wanted to do. And it's all I've ever planned to do. Yeah. Right. So even doing radio, as much as that was a performance, it was more to me of a divergence from what I ultimately what my goals were.
Right.
And when I left radio, there was this sense of freedom of, okay, now I can go 100% full speed, devote all of my time to this craft that I love so much.
Yeah.
And so I'm taking acting classes. I went to LA. I shot a pilot about that I wrote about my life. And
we shot Lonely Hearts.
We shot Lonely Hearts. Yeah. Like what I was actively auditioning, doing all of this stuff. And then
and labeled too. You did labeled. You were also producing Anya Marina with John Sosin.
So I was like, and in the meantime, you know, I'm like auditioning for bigger, like legit projects. And then COVID happened. And as people know, it shut down much of the industry.
Yeah.
And so a lot of the auditions stopped, all of that stuff sort of stopped. And then as things started to pick back up again, I realized that I wasn't as into it as I used to be.
Yeah.
And it's this incredibly strange place to be where everything you set your life out for, you maybe change your mind on. And it's a really scary place to be. And you and I were talking last night and I was like in a very different headspace and I was like, I don't even ever want to act again. Like I don't care and I'm not interested.
Right.
And I was thinking about it this morning and I kind of am walking that back a bit because there are people I know who I've talked to about potentially doing stuff with.
Yeah.
And I absolutely would want to act in those types of projects.
Right.
But I don't have the love of auditioning, of networking, of like hustling, of making sure that all your photos are like up to date and perfect and you're like reaching out to cast. I just don't have that love anymore. I'm not driven to do it. I'm not passionate about it.
Right.
And this all ultimately became very clear to me when you and I are working on this annoyingly secret project we can't talk about, but the whole, hopefully we can talk about it soon, but the whole thing was pitched as I am going to star in this thing.
Yeah.
And we learned that the project cannot be union and I am in the union.
Right. So for anyone who doesn't understand what we're saying when we say union and non-union, I'm not trying to like mansplain anyone here, but this is what it means if you don't know. There's a thing called SAG.
SAG-AFTRA.
SAG-AFTRA.
The Screen, the Actors,
Screen
Guild
Actors Guild.
And the American Federation of Television and Radio Artists.
If you're a member of it, you can't cross the line to non-union.
Unless there's like a ton of paperwork and it's expensive.
Unless there's a ton of paperwork, right. And so the company that we are working with said, absolutely not. It's non-union all the way. We don't want to deal with unions. And in that heartbreaking moment, I said, okay, then fuck it. You're going to direct it with me. We're going to share co-directing. So at least your name is top billed. And we are going to direct the shit out of this thing. And I think that we work well as a team. And that's what you're going to do. And it sort of shattered a lot in for a few weeks.
Definitely. But then I started to realize that this giant weight had been lifted off my shoulders. Because I knew that I was going to be able to focus 100% on this project being the best it can be as our big sort of debut into this kind of thing.
Yeah.
And I wasn't going to be distracted by, does my makeup look okay? Because it's low budget enough that I'd be doing my own makeup. Are my lines word perfect? Like all of the things that you have to worry about as an actor.
Yeah.
On top of all of the things that I would be worrying about as a producer, making sure that we have food, making sure that everyone is showing up on time, making mm-hmm. sure that all the paperwork is getting in, making sure that like we're getting the shots we need. It would have been such a headache. And I was so subconsciously relieved that I did not have to worry about this huge chunk of it, including mm-hmm. do I look good on camera right now?
Right.
And that's when I realized that maybe there were other things that I am interested in doing. And it was this crazy moment of releasing this death grip I had on my future.
Yes.
And being like, this is how my future must look. And there is nothing else that will make me happy. And it can't be anything else.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as I wasn't able to be in this project, I realized that it was really nice
mm-hmm.
and that I was actually very much enjoying producing and getting ready to direct and casting and all this stuff. So it's been this journey, and I want to hear from you, Dennis, and yeah. obviously you, gentle listener, because I think the vast majority of people who listen to this show are in this time of life where you may be reassessing what life looks like for you. And
right.
do you actually want the things that you thought you wanted? And then if you realize you genuinely do, awesome, go get them. But if you've lost the passion for the thing you thought you had passion for, it's scary to let go of it.
Yep.
So all that to say, Dennis,
mm-hmm.
I know you've experienced this. What have you gone through regarding this whole thing? What are your thoughts? Oh, hello. It's your friend Bethany here. I want to tell you about something very cool that I have just launched. It is a clothing rental website called Bewitch Your Wardrobe. You've probably heard of other clothing rental websites before. The dumb ones that can be so expensive, over $100, and you do not get to choose your clothes, and you do not get to choose how many times you swap out your rentals. With bewitchyourwardrobe.com, it is $50 a month, and you get unlimited clothing swaps all month. And that does not change. I, in the past, have changed out 8 times over the month. So go to bewitchyourwardrobe.com and check it out for yourself. Free shipping, free returns. We clean these suckers beautifully. And the items that you pick are the items they send to you. And if you fall in love with an item you rent, you get to buy it at a deep discount. So bewitchyourwardrobe.com. It's my new rental service. I'm so excited about it. And transform your style again and again.
Well, before I talk about that, I do want to say how proud I am of you.
Thank you.
And how much I've seen you grow as not only a producer, but as a director and as a co-director and as a writer. And you have developed a set of skills that are so valuable that I don't want you to think that you've taken a step down. I think you've actually taken a step up.
Thank you, Dennis.
And I don't think that this is, I don't think acting is done for you.
I don't think so either.
What the project we are working on will eventually lead to is you being able to produce projects for yourself.
Totally.
Which is like what Sydney Sweeney does.
Mm-hmm.
And you
Her Royal Highness Barbara Crampton.
Her Royal Highness Barbara Crampton. She makes projects that she can be in, and she's mm-hmm. a super producer.
Yeah.
A great director named Joe Lynch mm-hmm. just worked with her, and he was like, she is a monster when it comes to production.
Yeah.
She'll snap right out of the role and be like, all right, where's catering? Here's this key grip. You take your break. Like she yep. just knew every bit and piece of set. And that's how I could see you developing into as you're, you know, making projects for yourself.
And I don't mean to interrupt.
No,
this
go
actually
ahead.
Just realized. So when I was shooting that pilot.
Yeah.
So I was the lead in that pilot.
Yeah.
And so I was like the front and center of every single scene.
The pilot that you shot a while ago.
Yeah. And as soon as we would cut, I would literally walk over to the crew and I'd be like, do you guys need anything? Do you have the water you need? Like, does anyone need water? Because it was like a no water bottle set. So I was like, did anyone forget to bring their water bottle? And people were looking at me like No, go to your job. But it really, I had been chosen for this project. And so everyone was there for me and for my vision, quote unquote, my goals.
Right, right.
And I was so grateful everyone was there. And of course, they were getting paid like it was a job. But I was so grateful that everyone had shown up for this chick from Wisconsin mm-hmm. who somehow had landed in this studio in LA and was shooting this thing about her life, that I was actively making sure everyone else was okay.
Right.
And I think that I am more comfortable in that kind of a role and then popping in and doing a scene or two instead of being front and center all the time. I
yes.
think I don't like that as much.
So ironically, that leads perfectly, segues perfectly into your question to me about, yeah. you know, what was my experience with this? And I know a lot of you know me as this from this show mm-hmm. and as Bethany's boyfriend, and you know that's how I was introduced to you. But before that, from the ages of, I would say, 18 to 27, mm-hmm. I was a musician mm-hmm. and I was a working musician. I would go on tour, and my band, The Realistics, was the band that almost made it. We were so close, and we watched pretty much every band make it and get a deal, and we never got one.
Like, your friends are
my friends who I talk to this day
are now are like
deals.
Their are, you yeah. would know their bands,
right? You would absolutely know who they were.
Yep.
And so, you know, it was, I dealt with that through therapy and through the years, and I sort of said, well, that wasn't what I was meant to do.
Yeah.
Because it just didn't happen. And as much as I was fighting for it, it just didn't happen. Mm-hmm. And I knew that the ship had sailed. And I tried like one more time in my later 30s. This was like before I did photography for a living. Mm-hmm. And photography became my thing. Mm-hmm. And then eventually led to filmmaking I wanted to do before I got caught by the music bug. Mm-hmm. And I was planning on going to film school and things like that. So my life would have probably been drastically different
yeah.
had I done that. Or maybe it wouldn't have. I don't know. But I am very familiar with yeah. your life suddenly taking a left turn.
Mm-hmm.
And I've realized that you just sort of have to go with it.
Mm-hmm.
And when you don't answer that call of like, but you're good at this and it's not what you wanted to do,
mm-hmm.
but it's, you're really good at it. That's what happened with photography. People were like, dude, you're a natural at this. And then when I started making films, people were saying the same thing.
Yeah.
Festivals were like, you're a natural at this. You really should pursue this. This is what you're meant to do.
Yeah.
And so I feel very blessed. I'm not going to say privileged, because I work my ass off for mm-hmm. everything that I do and everything that we do. It is not a privilege when you have to fight for it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So yes, we are blessed to be able to be artists and mm-hmm. make a living off of it. I am very blessed, but I do work my ass off for it.
Totally.
So, but it's also, we're lucky that we have the talents to do these things.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm trying to say with that. But where I'm really proud of you is that you're sort of like, fuck it.
Yeah.
I think you're at that point that I was at, where it was like, the dream died for me.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, and I loved being on stage. I still love playing music.
Love being
I
on stage.
I love being mm-hmm. on stage. I love performing. But that wasn't what I was meant to do. What's great is, in the long run, I can do it again anytime I want if I achieve some form of success with filmmaking.
Totally.
And with photography and all that stuff. So it's always going to be there.
Yeah.
So that's why I say to you, you're okay.
Totally.
You're never going to, it's never gone.
No, and I don't feel like it's not going to happen or that I am failing at it. I
yeah.
feel more like it stopped being fun
mm-hmm.
and I stopped enjoying the process.
Yeah.
And acting is 99% rejection and loving the process.
Yes.
And if you don't love learning monologues and love doing scene work and love auditioning, your life sucks, because that's all you're doing.
Yep.
And I stopped enjoying it. I would get an email from my manager saying you have an audition, and my stomach would drop, because
mm-hmm.
I knew that I was like, oh, I got to prepare. I don't want to prepare this. I don't want to do it. And the moment of being able to say, there's a reason that I'm not on this project that we're doing. There's a reason.
Yeah.
Everything always works out for me, mm-hmm. right? That's the thing you have to say. And just like I said, it's like releasing that death grip felt so good.
Yes.
And also, I've said before, like I've been really, everyone who, how do I want to phrase this? I get told a lot that people want me to go back into radio.
Oh, yeah, I know.
And not like a ton, like not like an ego thing.
It's almost every day.
But it's because that's what people know me from. And it's actually an incredibly huge privilege to not have been on the air for like 7 years.
I know,
and to
people
have
still
people
want you
still
on the
remember
radio.
You. Yeah. Yeah, no, I had a boss tell me.
You made an impact. You made a huge impact in people's lives.
It's amazing. Yeah. I had a boss tell me the second you leave the air, people start to forget. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I was prepared for that. And so to have people still say, gosh, I wish you were on the radio, it blows my mind and it's so sweet and wonderful.
Yeah.
It's also something I never loved.
I know.
I never loved it.
I know. I know.
And I might cut this out of the episode.
No,
but
leave
like,
it. Leave it. Please leave it. But I think people should hear this. You know?
I never, the same way that I lost my passion for the like the audition process.
Yeah.
I never had the passion for radio
right.
that I saw other people have.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew I would see people who would come to like our live shows or come to appearances I was doing and they would ask like, how do I get into this? And I remember thinking to myself, you should have my job because you want it more.
Oh, wow.
Than
okay,
I want it.
Yeah.
I fell backwards into radio
mm-hmm.
and I was so unbelievably lucky to end up where I ended up, which was in New York on like the biggest station.
Mm-hmm.
That all happened so strangely and quickly and almost in a way where I didn't fully understand how big of a deal it was until like 6 months ago.
Yeah,
like I really, I didn't understand A, how lucky I was, mm-hmm. what this all meant, the people I was meeting. It just never occurred to me because so often I was so stressed about how am I going to meet people who mm-hmm. can help me do this other thing I want to do.
Right, right.
And the hours were killing me. I was sick. Physically, I was sick. And so I would see people who were like working overnights for $10, you know, who were like just because they loved radio so much. And I never did. And I was like, I shouldn't be here because I don't deserve it in the way that someone who will work so hard for it deserves it.
Wow.
And so that's one of the reasons that this is sort of a scary thing is because it's like I spent basically 10 years in an industry that I knew I was good at and was really good to me.
Mm-hmm.
And yet I didn't love it the way I knew I should.
Yeah.
So then I left it to go do this other thing that I loved mm-hmm. and I kind of stopped loving it.
Yeah.
And so it's just a really interesting place to be. It's a very scary place to be.
It is. It's yeah.
It's so scary.
It's super scary. But let me ask you this.
Mm-hmm.
What do you love?
I love performing.
Mm-hmm.
I love performing in front of a live audience if I know what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
I love being on a stage.
Mm-hmm.
I love being part of a team that is creating something together like a rat king.
Yeah.
You know, like so many people coming together to form one living organism, like a school of fish all moving mm-hmm. together. We just met. All of us just met. Maybe two of you know each other from a previous project. And in about 30 minutes, we are all going to be moving synchronistically
mm-hmm.
like we've known each other forever to all make this one thing happen.
Yeah.
And we talked about it when we did Little Lucha and the Big Deal in Minneapolis.
Yes.
Where our actress was wearing this stunning wig. Actress and director was wearing this amazing wig and it started to rain and her wig could not get wet.
Yeah.
And yet we had to do an outdoor shot. And all of a sudden, everyone on our crew who had only just met, we all started building this contraption together mm-hmm. out of C-stands and trash bags. We basically created a tunnel for her to stand in.
Yeah. You created an awning.
Yeah. We created an awning. Yeah. And we all did it together. All of us figuring out together, almost wordlessly, how to do it. And that makes me so happy. And I feel like that is the high that I'm going to be chasing and letting what that actually is be fluid.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
I was just going to say, you know, basically what I think the sort of conclusion to all this is if you have a dream, let it be malleable.
Yes.
Let it fall where it's going to fall and then follow that. You know, you don't have to be rigid. I was so rigid when I was in my 20s that it was music or nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sad that I didn't branch out and start doing, you know, film a little bit earlier because I was and photography because mm-hmm. I was always doing it.
Yeah, you were doing it anyway.
I don't want to pursue that.
Yeah.
And, you know, now it happened later. Which is good and bad. You know, I wish it happened a little sooner, but, you know, but so
I have thoughts on that.
So good and bad, but always let your dreams be malleable. Mm-hmm. Like, you don't have to say it's this or nothing, it's all or nothing.
And I'm not saying give up on your dreams.
Not at all.
At all.
No.
If you are passionate about something, you go for that thing.
Yes.
But if you find yourself kind of being like, I don't know, I don't love it as much as I used to. Mm-hmm.
If you lose your passion for it, it may be time to move.
Yeah. Or change.
Or be malleable. Or change and do something different that is mm-hmm. along the same lines as what you love doing.
And to your point about you wish it had happened earlier.
Yeah.
You and I have talked about this before. I think that everything lands the way it's supposed to.
Yeah. Yeah.
If I had graduated from high school or graduated from college and then moved to LA to pursue acting,
mm-hmm.
I would be dead.
Yeah.
Because I had major mental health issues
mm-hmm.
and I needed to be under my parents' insurance
yeah.
and I needed to be close to a support system. And if I was in LA, I didn't know anyone. My mental health issues probably would have taken over. We'll just put it that way.
Yeah.
And you, I think if you had started filmmaking younger, or if you had found the success in music that you had wanted to younger, I think that your addiction issues, which you have beat so impressively, I think that those would have taken over and I don't think you would be alive today.
I think I would have been taken out.
Yep.
Yeah, I think my addictions would have taken me out much of the game much sooner. And I'm so happy that I found sobriety and that mm-hmm. I sort of like found the love of it.
Yeah.
And that I can, every day I see everything with such a clear head and a clear mind. I agree with you.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm proud of you, honey. You rarely ever open up like this.
Yeah.
You know, we play a lot of games on this show. A lot of segments about you are very funny and we, you know, talk about like how funny you are. But I think I'm glad that you finally like talked about this and like
Thanks.
We were able to have a conversation. I know it's hard for you.
Well, it's hard for me. And also it's been a half form thought
I know.
For a while.
Yeah.
And like, I didn't want to talk about it until I knew what I was talking about.
Yeah.
And for
I
a really
you.
Long
yeah.
time, yeah. it was yeah. just like, I don't want to audition. Oh, mm-hmm. God, this isn't fun anymore. But I didn't quite know what that meant. And then I think finally just realizing truly that this is a lesson I needed to learn. And I know my mom is like pumping her fist. She's been trying to tell me this for years. Is like, stop being so
You hear
rigid.
That, Mama Watson? You pumping that? Your fist right now?
Mama wants a pain in my butt.
She's right.
She's been trying to tell me you cannot be this rigid. And when everyone was saying, like, you're good at radio, that's why I would get so mad. Is because I don't love that.
I know.
But there are other things that I love that I can do
mm-hmm.
that I am passionate about.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. I might, you know, if the right radio job comes up, I might, who knows? I don't know anymore. I'm letting go of the also like I'm never going to, because anytime I've said I'm never going to do something, I did it.
Yeah.
Like I said, I was never going to have an eating disorder. I went ahead and blew that out of the water. So like, who knows? But
I
want to try to figure out this new thing and see what happens.
Well, I will be here to support you every step of the way. And I know that everyone who's listening to this and listens to this show would support you every step of the way. So
Thanks,
we're here with you. And
Thank
I'm
you.
Very proud of you.
Thank you. I love you very much.
I love you too. All right, Bethany, after that big emotional thing, I said that was the show and you said no.
Okay, we do want to end it. I think that took longer than I thought. And it was like, I think it was good to open up. I did have a segment 3 fun quiz planned. I was proud of one question.
Do you want to just do the game?
What do you think we should do?
Fuck it, let's do the game. Everyone's going to get their money's worth.
Segment 3, everyone knows that we had a we had a total solar eclipse last week as we record this. And so I thought, you know, what would be fun, Dennis, for you and gentle listener, for you at home, let's do a multiple choice quiz about space.
Okay.
Play it with your partner or at work as a team building exercise.
Okay.
Okay. Here we go.
Play along with us.
Number one.
Yeah.
You would not be able to walk on Jupiter, mm-hmm. Saturn, mm-hmm. Uranus, or Neptune, even if they had our atmosphere and a reasonable temperature we could survive at.
Okay.
You wouldn't be able to. Why not? Number A,
no.
Their surface is so acidic, mm-hmm. it would eat through your shoes and skin alien style.
Okay.
Okay. B, they have no solid surface to walk on.
Mm-hmm.
Or C, monsters.
All right, so I know it's either A or B. I'm going to go with A.
Their surface is so acidic?
Acidic.
No, they have no solid surface on which to walk.
So it's just like mercury?
It's like atmosphere or something. I don't know.
Wow.
Jupiter,
holy
Saturn,
shit.
Uranus, or Neptune all have nothing to work on.
Oh, my God. They're all... Oh, the chat. Katie got it. They're
gas
all gas planets.
You guys are gas planets.
Am I right? I was a real gas planet after those tacos.
I bet you are.
Oh,
that
yeah.
fake meat. Number two.
Yeah.
If you could fly a normal airplane, you know, a Boeing 777.
Okay.
To Pluto.
Okay.
How long would it take you? A, over 800 years.
Okay.
B, over 1,000 years.
Mm-hmm.
Or C, over 6,900 years. Nice.
I'm going to go with the in between, the B, I'm going to say.
Over 1,000 years?
Yes.
Incorrect. Over 800 years.
Damn it. I was going to say A.
Yeah. You should trust your gut. You should trust your spirit. On Mars.
I'm batting zero here.
What color does the sunset appear on Mars?
What color?
Uh-huh. A, normal sun color.
Mm-hmm.
B, blue. C, white.
I'm going to say white.
Blue.
Damn it.
You suck at space. Okay, four.
Okay.
Okay, put your listening caps on.
On.
Ready?
Yeah, I'm wearing it. It looks like one of those little hats, like the sleep hats. Remember in the old-timey sleep hats with the little tassel at the end?
Yeah, I like
that's
hat.
Me right now. Mm-hmm. That's my thinking hat.
Number four, total solar eclipse happens because of a cosmic coincidence. What is that coincidence?
Okay.
A, even though the sun is about 400 times bigger than the moon, it's also about 400 times farther away. So this makes the sun and moon appear to be the same size in the sky. So the moon is able to fully cover the sun.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Or is the coincidence that the moon's speed around the Earth versus the Earth's speed around the sun are the exact correct speeds to make it so that the sun and moon almost never get close enough to align.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of like how your two friends who hate each other sort of show up and leave your party at weird times so they almost never cross paths.
Okay.
Is it that?
Okay.
Or is the coincidence that both the moon and the sun are from the same hometown?
I'm going to say A.
You're right. It's A.
Yes, I finally got one, people.
So the sun,
oh my God.
The sun is 400 times bigger than the moon, but it's also 400 times further away.
Yes, okay. I got one.
What false claim was not made regarding the solar eclipse?
Hold on, wait. I'm eclipsing your face right now.
There. Oh, it goes. I'm so cold. Now I'm back.
Now you're back. Okay.
Okay. What false claim was not made regarding the solar eclipse?
Okay.
A, people claimed a bird man was seen days before the eclipse.
Okay.
B, NASA launched 3 rockets during the eclipse as part of a sex magic ritual. Or C, don't cook during the eclipse because any food made at that time will be poisoned. Which one isn't a rumor?
Which one isn't a rumor?
That flew around.
C.
False. All of them flew around.
All of them?
Uh-huh.
All of those. So you should have said D.
This is a trick question.
All the above.
Trick question. Six. If your spacesuit has a leak in it, and you're on a spacewalk,
you're dead.
How long could you survive floating in space?
Okay.
A, a couple of seconds.
Yeah.
B, a couple of minutes. Or C, at least 60 minutes if it was a small leak.
I'm going to go with C.
No.
Damn it.
A couple minutes. It would be torture, though. Yeah. So this is from the BBC. After around 10 seconds, you would lose consciousness, thank God, because the lower pressure of the vacuum would cause your blood to boil. Along with other bodily fluids, like the moisture on your tongue would boil.
Nice.
But it wouldn't be fatal enough.
Okay.
Due to the pressure maintained by our blood vessels themselves. So you'd be boiling, but it wouldn't kill you.
Interesting.
Then gas bubbles would form in the rest of your body liquids.
Okay.
causing your body to swell up. Then the low humidity of space would cause you to cool down rapidly. Your eyes might freeze over.
Interesting.
Within 1 to 2 minutes, the total lack of oxygen would absolutely kill you.
Okay.
But it might happen faster because you'd be so stressed out that you'd be breathing faster. And like then there'd be damage to your lungs and eardrops, rapid decompression. There'd be bleeding from your soft tissues. You would absolutely die. So it's just thank God.
Leaking blood.
Leaking and blowing up.
Oh.
Final one. This is the last one.
Okay.
Which one of these facts is true?
Okay.
A, astronauts about to embark on a spacewalk, doing a walk outside of the spaceship in space.
Yes, yes.
Are given a gun with one bullet in it in case things go badly.
Wait, is this true?
Which one of these facts is true?
Okay.
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 So they don't fly away and into the, and just forever. So
they just kill themselves.
They got one bullet.
Okay.
B,
yeah.
All International Space Station astronauts must learn Russian.
Okay. Yeah.
Or C.
Yeah. Come on.
C.
Yeah.
Every astronaut gets their own rubber toilet bag or RTB. They go into that bag every day and sort of shake it up after each trip to the bathroom.
Yeah.
And then at the end of the day, each astronaut is responsible for dumping their own rubber toilet bag into space.
I'm going to go with C.
No. Damn it. It's all ISS astronauts must learn Russian.
You know, I was going to pick that one. I should have went, oh my God.
My brother-in-law truly believed that every astronaut before going on a spacewalk was given a gun with one bullet.
Wow.
His sister told him when he was young, but she didn't tell him she was joking. So he went through like 20 years of his life telling people this fun fact, not knowing it wasn't true.
Amazing.
Thanks for listening to our show, everyone.
I have to pee.
Oh. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of The Check-In. Dennis, where can people find you?
I am at Dennis Callow everywhere.
I am at Ms. Bethany Watson on everything important, including Blue Sky. I think I have 9 followers on Blue Sky. Look, Blue Sky is where it's at. I don't even have like a paid endorsement for Blue Sky. Hold on.
Speaking of paid endorsements, we want to thank our sponsor, Puzzle You.
Oh my gosh.
Thank you so much for coming back and hanging out, Puzzle You.
The puzzle that comes in individual little boxes is such a good idea.
Yeah. And let me tell you something. I gave my nephew a bunch of Puzzle You puzzles of my work, and both my nephews love them.
So great.
They're like, these are great. And they like the 100 ones because they were like, these are a little more relaxing than the 1,000-piece puzzles.
Totally.
So they really enjoyed the 100-piece.
Yeah. No, they're awesome. Puzzle You.
Puzzle You. Thank you
we
so
love
much.
You.
Yeah. Thank you to our heroes, to our patrons. If it wasn't... You guys are the reason why this show comes out every 2 weeks.
Oh, honestly. Yeah. No, we would set the set on fire.
We wouldn't know what to do without our patrons that are here. So thank you for helping to produce this show.
Yep.
And that's it. I mean, go check out where DennisCallow.com/shop. You can look for my book there.
And thank you so much for taking the time
to check in. Bethany, let's go on a spacewalk.
No way.